Or don't worry about the lack of question, it just means points have been clearly made.
Next witness, Mr. Ruru.
Okay, my name's Steve Ruru. I'm currently Chief Executive of Southern District Council and have been Local Authority Chief Executive for the last 18 years. Key messages I make in my evidence is that local authorities, particularly TLAs, manage a very large infrastructural asset base, including roading, water, wastewater, stormwater. Southland District, one of its characteristics, of course, is that it has a large number of small communities, which does create economies of scale challenges, particularly when you have such a large number of schemes servicing the diverse communities that we have. It's also incredibly important that you have long-term asset management plans and renewal strategies in place, as you've already heard. And in developing those, we also need to be mindful of the overall affordability of rating. And I've inserted in there for you a national graph that looks at the picture generically for the local government sector between movement and rates, both historically and projected going forward for the sector as a whole. When you look more closely at Southland as a whole, the picture, and I've included specific reference there for Southland District Council's picture, but if you look at all of the four councils in Southland, including the Regional Council, they are not dissimilar. And it is really important in my view that the region and the TLAs, who all gather their rates from the same ratepayer, actually start to work together and understand what they are asking ratepayers to pay for, and that's a critical part in all of the work that we do at both the Regional Council and the TLA level. I've also included in there for you the results of some work that we've been doing within Southland District, looking at the affordability of rates by individual communities, and I just emphasise that does of course exclude at the moment Environment Southland rates, which need to be added on to that. I've also attached for your information some case study work we've been doing in Arohai and Nightcaps, as really piloting some concepts around how do we plan for the long-term provision of infrastructure in communities that are suffering decline, and there are real issues with how do you right-size that infrastructure given the very long life that it has, and I know the panel had some discussion about some of it with one of the previous submitters, talking about infrastructure that can last up for 100 years, and these changes are happening obviously within much shorter time frames, and how the TLA in this case right-sizes that infrastructure over time to reflect the changing size of those communities is an important strategic challenge for us to be grappling with. So just in summary, we highlight there paragraph 28, the importance of considering the broader economic and social wellbeing of communities and looking at the affordability of rating impacts relative to the levels of service that we're looking to provide. It's important that the statutory framework for consenting consider the least expensive consenting pathway, and again, key message there is I'd far rather be spending money on improving infrastructure than on resource consenting processes. With the large number of schemes that we do have, as I highlight back in paragraph 7, with some 18 different communities and 27 stormwater schemes, for example, we are going to have a level of duplication of cost, because as soon as we lodge an application, we will encounter some processing fees. But it is important that we get the focus on investing the money in the infrastructure improvements that will make a difference rather than consenting processes as such. So those are the key points which to highlight, and very happy to take any questions.
Well, thanks very much for that, Mr. Ruru, and the points you make about affordability in terms of rate increases for small rural communities, those with declining populations or high deprivation indices, I mean, these are issues that other towns around New Zealand are facing. It's not an issue that's unique to Southland, so very aware of those issues. Morris, any questions?
Right. Asked Steve the sources of, in the towns in the district, what are the main sources of contamination of the sewage system and also into the stormwater systems within the towns?
So certainly one of the important parts I think to look at in terms of Southland District is it's not a city, so, and we don't have a large industrial base that's contributing to extra load to wastewater systems. And obviously if we did have those very heavy loads, we'd look at using things like trade waste bylaws to help manage that load input stuff. very clear, accepted national practice to use those tools to help manage inputs. We simply don't have that industrial loading base in most of our communities. We have, for example, just one undertaker in Winton. There are issues there, but a lot of our wastewater loading is, and obviously Mr. Evans can comment on this further on, is largely residential in nature. Stormwater discharges, and again, I've done significant work in the past with looking at inspection programs around houses and looking where the stormwater discharges go into, and where gully traps, for example, are relative to ground height and stormwater downpipes going in there. You do the monitoring programs and you come back 12 months later and you find, hello, the downpipe's back in the gully trap. So you can do all those things, but they have to be ongoing follow-up. And obviously, again, Mr. Evans can talk about this. This is where the volume management through wastewater pump stations and what's happening in heavy stormwater events are all part of the tools you can use to help manage and highlight where stormwater infiltration may be happening or where there are problems with householders, etc., connecting. So there are recognised techniques there that can be used, and I'm sure Mr. Evans will cover off on those in his evidence for you as well. So those are all practical things that can be done.
All right, thanks.
Good morning. The majority of, I think, the sewage treatment plants discharge to water through the Southland District Council.
Look, Mr. Evans is probably better to comment on that. The only one that I'm aware of is Tiano at the moment, is direct water discharge, the wastewater discharge.
No, we
haven't. And Winton. So there's two of them out of the wastewater schemes that we have.
Probably I should clarify, I'll raise it with Mr. Evans, but really referring to land-based treatment and the council's position on that and how that's tracking. But I'll ask Mr. Evans to do that.
Here.
I'll point
that.
Just one question. I've asked a similar question, but there's quite a social discussion around water quality at the moment, and we're being bombarded because it just happened to be an election at the time. Are you happy that the work streams that you have in Southland District Council can actually show that you're actually doing what you can, as fast as you can, to recognise the social conversation that's happening? That's code for, there's a number of national policy statements coming out on swimmability comments on the time frame.
Yeah, and look, the swimmability stuff has obviously just come out in the last month or so with the finalisation of revised NPS. Mm. So have we reflected all of that in our detailed plans? Clearly no. It came out a month ago. We've got work to do, which we're working on through the current LTP, to improve our plans, and it is going to be an ongoing improvement effort. It's not something that is absolutely sorted now, and that's again why we're highlighting in here the range of work we are doing, the need to not only look at it from a how do you just solve the infrastructure upgrades, but how do you ensure it's affordable? How do you cope with declining communities that have a smaller rating base to service the stuff? So it's about finding the right balance in that work program. So we are trying to broaden the discussion and the consideration with our communities about how do we plan for that future and provide appropriate infrastructure that recognises who is going to be there in the medium to long term. And that's quite a different picture between different parts of our community. We've attached the Ohi Nightcaps as one example of a number of declining communities. The reality is half of Southland District communities declined in population between the last two census. Other parts of the district though, and Te Anau Fiordland, in terms of areas in which there is some level of growth. So we've got the extremes. Historically, plenty of councils, and look, I'm chief executive of one of those from the large number of years, are used to planning for growth. Not too many councils are used to planning for decline. We've committed to leading a conversation with our communities about how do we plan for both scenarios and find the right balance between providing the infrastructure to meet the goals that have been set through the freshwater NPS, come down through the regional council to ourselves to meet as infrastructure providers, and an affordable and appropriate way that recognises the four well-beings and the importance of those for our communities, which needs a complete balanced solution that considers a number of different dimensions, and then we've tried to highlight some of those in the evidence we're presenting.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Ruru. No further questions from me.